From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, while being mentioned as a possible presidential candidate in 2020, Governor Andrew Cuomo has more immediate obstacles facing his 2018 re-election. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on the governor's dipping poll numbers, and we'll take you to Saratoga Springs, where ICE arrests have forced a discussion about immigration. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Governor Andrew Cuomo's name has been mentioned as a potential presidential candidate in 2020, but first, he may be facing some obstacles to win a third term as governor in 2018. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt reports.
Governor Cuomo has taken actions in recent months that could be viewed as steps toward a presidential run. He's hired key staff from former President Obama's administration, as well as a new chief of staff who's also worked on Republican presidential campaigns. In speeches, Cuomo often presents a Democratic alternative to President Donald Trump and the GOP-led Congress, contrasting New York's policies to those in Washington. He's appeared at rallies and events with former Vice President Joe Biden and House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi.
It's my privilege to be here with your very distinguished progressive governor.
The governor was fired up in a recent speech at a rally against the GOP plans to replace and repeal the Affordable Care Act, where he accused Republicans of being selfish.
We believe in love and brotherhood and sisterhood. We believe in helping one another and standing up for one another. And we don't just say it, we do it.
So is Cuomo considering a presidential campaign?
I don't think there's any question he's running.
Fred LeBrun has been a journalist for half a century. He's now a columnist for the Albany Times-Union, and he's closely observed many New York governors.
And it makes sense. New York, someone who is the leader of New York, is all automatically in a position to be considered for higher office, and that the only higher office really is to be president. And I think Andrew is the first serious candidate we've actually had for it since his father.
Cuomo's father, the late former Governor Mario Cuomo, famously deliberated about entering the 1992 presidential race, but he ultimately decided not to. If you ask Andrew Cuomo point blank, though, as reporters did recently, he says he's focused on becoming governor again in 2018 and that anything beyond that is pure speculation.
I'm running for re-election as governor of the state of New York, and that's what I'm focused on, and that's what I'm doing, and that's what I wake up thinking about.
The spokesman for Quinnipiac University Polls, Mickey Carroll, says he believes Cuomo.
He's got plenty of time to decide to run, which I'm sure he hasn't done yet.
A recent Q poll found that most New Yorkers don't want Cuomo to run for president, though they do like the governor playing the role of Democratic foil to the National Republicans.
Is he a presidential candidate? The Quinnipiac numbers now say no, but now is not the election. Now is 3 years away from the election.
The governor may have some obstacles to overcome before that, including in a 2018 re-election race. The Quinnipiac poll was the first of two voter surveys this month to find that Cuomo's popularity and job approval rating is slipping among New Yorkers to near record lows. A Siena College poll reported similar findings. Part of the reason is frustrations with the downstate mass transit system, which seems to be in a meltdown this summer. Siena spokesman and political analyst Steve Greenberg says the dissatisfaction with Cuomo's handling of the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, which the governor controls, strikes at the heart of Cuomo's core base of support, New York City Democrats.
He's got to always protect his flank. And right now, his flank has some vulnerability given this summer of hell, as he described it, and what's going on with MTA service.
Cuomo also faces potential embarrassment in the upcoming trials of several of his former associates, including his former top aide, on federal corruption charges ranging from bribery to bid rigging. The governor has not been charged with any wrongdoing, but he's already said he may have to testify in the trials. They're due to start next January, right on time for the 2018 election cycle. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Oh, Alan, continuing problems with the subway system in New York City. Now this week, the Siena College poll was released, which seems to indicate the governor took a hit over it.
Oh, there's no question. David, we know that the Cuomo appeal is in New York City. That's where the Cuomo name is so important, and in the suburbs. It was interesting, though. Number one, he lost a lot of ground. I think we're reading in the papers he's got something like $24 to $27 million that he has raised, even though he, as a governor, has said he thinks the influence of money politics is too great. I love that one. But also, there was major objection to naming the Tappan Zee Bridge for Mario Cuomo, a man who I loved, of course. And fascinating, because I think it's a reflection, A, on the way it was done. In other words, it was done as a last-minute negotiation. But also, I think it's a reflection of what people are thinking about Andrew Cuomo right now.
Now this week, as we learn on the national scene, that the Senate health care bill, basically, I guess, on life support, if not dead. What about those New York congressional Republicans like John Faso and Elise Stefanik and Chris Collins from the western part of New York and the coming 2018 election?
Well, that's right, David. When I think about these Republicans, I know that they're in real danger. Because this 2018 election is going to be all about a referendum on Donald Trump. And my sense of that is that he is a guy who is in real danger in New York. His polls are extraordinarily low, his numbers. And that some of that has got to stick to his fellow Republicans, especially those who haven't stood up to him. Now you have somebody like Stefanik or somebody like John Faso, who in fact made no bones about the fact that they were going to support an incredibly unpopular health care revision that New Yorkers don't like. And the country doesn't like it. I think it had an 18% approval rating on just that issue. But in New York, it's got to be an all-time low. And so these folks came out, they put themselves on the line. They voted for his bill, which was unpopular and a bad bill. And then he turned around and said it was a mean bill. So, again, we see this quality of Trump, that he has no personal loyalties to people. You would think he would be in there stomping for them. Now, he says he's going to go in the election 2018 and campaign for Republican candidates. But I got news for you. If I were them, I'd be yelling at him, stay out, don't come anywhere near me, because of his lack of popularity, particularly in New York State. And the ultimate opportunist, the guy you always want to keep your eye on in terms of the way the wind is blowing, is Andrew Cuomo, because he says, I'm going after all of these Republicans. And that is a clear indication that he thinks that they're in trouble and that he can benefit as a leader. It helps him with his left flank. Because, of course, they've always thought that he was playing footsie with the Republicans, and especially in the Republicans in the state Senate. And so I would think they're in trouble. Now, from their perspective, the Democrats, everybody is so anxious to get at these Republican incumbents that they're lining up for primaries. Many of them don't live in the district. They're coming from other places. They are opportunists, too, and they're saying, we want out these guys. Now they're going to beat each other's brains in, and if there are six, seven, eight people who are running for each of these offices, whether or not people who support one or the other of them will be forgiving during the election itself is a big issue, and the Republicans may make out, the Republican incumbents may make out as a result of that. So a lot will depend on the quality of the candidates that have been recruited or who survived this brutal process in the primary process. But if the quality is no good, they won't win.
Of course, we know that Governor Andrew Cuomo says he's running for re-election. And as we talked about, the Siena poll shows he's taken a hit as a result of the, quote, summer of hell in the New York City transportation system, specifically the subway. But there's something else coming along. The trials now have been scheduled. The judge, U.S. District Judge Valerie Caproni, ordered the pay-to-play trial of six of the charged individuals, including Buffalo Construction executive Louis Simonelli and former SUNY Polytechnic head Elaine Calleros, for no sooner than next May 15th. However, a separate trial for Joseph Prococo, a longtime friend of Cuomo and other individuals, will start January 8th. And as that trickles out, combined with lower poll numbers we're seeing now, do, number one, the Republicans have someone that could potentially beat Andrew Cuomo in 2018? And would anyone primary him?
Well, the guy you have to really keep your eye on is Attorney General Schneiderman. Because, David, if Cuomo, for example, decides not to run, which is unlikely, but there are people in the Capitol who think he won't run, and it's at the last minute, and if he resigns and he leaves Hochul in office, his lieutenant governor, who nobody knows, Schneiderman is up the creek without a paddle. He can't primary Cuomo because he won't win because people don't know who Schneiderman is. Now, in terms of the general election, do they have anybody? I've often said, and been wrong, that you can't beat somebody with nobody. Well, Mario Cuomo, he ran for a fourth term. He really beat himself, but people have been Cuomo'd out. And he ran a guy named George Pataki, a moderate Republican, runs against them and beats him and stays governor for three terms. So you can beat somebody with nobody. Now, you got a whole bunch of interesting people who might run. Somebody like Molinaro, who is a county executive. He could do it. I know that they're trying to bring in some of the same old guys, like Astorino, who lost last time. And then they're looking for people who have money of their own, who might finance their own campaigns because the Republicans have a hard time raising money in New York State. But it is possible that Cuomo could be beat in 2018. And, of course, that would put him out of commission for a run for president in 2020.
Legislative Gazette political observer Ellen Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Immigration is on the minds of many Saratoga Springs residents after U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement raids resulted in the arrests of more than two dozen individuals. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard reports a discussion about immigration and its effects on the local community was held this week at Skidmore College.
Heavy rain and a brief power outage did not stop Saratogians from asking questions about immigration. The town hall-style forum was hosted by Mayor Joanne Yepsen's Human Rights Task Force and Skidmore College's Departments of Latin American Studies and World Languages and Literatures. Mayor Yepsen, a Democrat, says immigration has become a hot topic in the city.
Because a lot of people kept asking a lot of questions throughout the community about the immigration process, about the ICE roundups, about how this is affecting our community and what can people do to help.
A slideshow detailing the basics of the U.S. immigration system was shown. Panel members represented the immigrant, legal, and business communities. Panelist Pat Pepino, an owner of a Ben & Jerry's ice cream shop and an individual familiar with the city's numerous downtown restaurants, said the recent arrests of more than two dozen undocumented immigrants is having an effect on the local workforce.
You know, what it's doing right now, as I talk to my fellow restaurateurs, it's bidding up labor because there's not enough talented cooks and back-of-the-house help to go around. So they're moving from place to place to place, and it's really creating chaos within the food and beverage industry.
Pepino said during the panel discussion that he believed the ICE raids were conducted in Saratoga Springs, a city about to boom with summer tourists for the thoroughbred racing season, in order to send a message. Panelist Byron Cortez, an immigrant from Ecuador who devotes much of his time assisting backstretch workers at Saratoga Racecourse, said there is a misconception that most track workers are undocumented.
They are documented and they work $6 per day back in their countries as farmers. So here, despite the living conditions, despite any struggles or the long day of work that they have, they are actually very grateful to be a part of this community one way or another and be able to provide to their families back home.
Cortez said he also wanted to deliver a message about race, explaining that backstretch workers come from a number of countries and not just Latin America. Many of the audience questions centered on what people can do to help. Audience members were warned not to interfere with law enforcement, but if they happen to witness an arrest they believe involves immigration status, to call an attorney or record the incident. Contact information for related organizations was also given, including the New York Civil Liberties Union, National Lawyers Guild, Saratoga County Economic Opportunity Council, and the newly created New York State Office for New Americans. For more information, visit WAMC.org. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lucas Willard.
Local groups and citizens held a rally recently to call on the U.S. Department of Defense to halt PFOS discharges from Stewart Air National Guard Base in Newburgh, New York, which drains into the city's main drinking water source and the Hudson River. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn explains.
Newburgh City Council member Jeannie Abrams is with a new group called Water Watchdogs and helped organize the rally of roughly 50 people to send a message to the Department of Defense.
DOD, we're blowing the whistle on you. We're going to hold you responsible now.
Abrams, Democratic Assemblyman Frank Scartatos, and others stood in front of a temporary filtration site on Route 300 in New Windsor July 15th, demanding the DOD stop discharging PFOS-laden water. Here's Scartatos.
I was brought up to believe that when you break something, when you destroy something, when you pollute something, well, you have a responsibility to make it right. And I demand that the Department of Defense steps up to the plate and does the right thing for the citizens of the city of Newburgh.
The temporary filtration site is near Washington Lake, Newburgh's main drinking water source where PFOS was found in May 2016. The odorless, tasteless chemical has been linked to firefighting foams used at the nearby Stewart Air National Guard base. In August of 2016, New York State declared the Air National Guard base a Superfund site. Federal and state officials have been pressing the Department of Defense to take responsibility for the contamination ever since, including U.S. Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer. An Air Force spokesperson did not respond to a request for comment in time for this broadcast. Newburgh attorney and city council member candidate Jonathan Jacobson hopes talk about the state potentially suing DOD is carried out.
And I think it's important that Newburgh and the state sue the federal government so that not only they clean it up, but that they pay us for the cost of getting a clean water system and to ensure in the future that we have a clean water system. And anybody who thinks that the Trump administration is going to do this out of the goodness of their heart is not living in the real world.
Earlier this year, New York State Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner Basil Sagos told WAMC the state would be in court unless the federal government takes responsibility and pays for New York's expenditures under Superfund. Again, Scartatos.
I think they acknowledge that they are culpable for what has happened here. But obviously, ultimately, it's about making us whole, making the state of New York whole. We have spent tremendous amount of resources and money here. And I think it's the DOD's responsibility to refund and make us whole.
Abrams says she and others came together to form Water Watchdogs after the 6th community meeting in Newburgh in early June, where state and local officials delivered updates on the PFOS contamination.
I was in the audience there just sitting there, and I just couldn't take it anymore, and I just stood up and said, let's do something.
At the weekend rally, Abrams handed out flyers with contact information for the Air Force and Department of Defense.
It actually says the names, email addresses, and phone numbers of the people to call at DOD. Now, they're going to be overwhelmed, but good. Good for them. Let them be overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed right now with PFOS.
The state has found some of the highest concentrations of PFOS in outfalls from the base at Recreation Pond. These outfalls drain into Silver Stream and other tributaries to Washington Lake. John Gebhards is coordinator of the Quassaic Creek Watershed Alliance.
Why DOD is taking so long to study and make the decision to treat the water coming off of the Air National Guard and remove the PFOS is, I guess, political, military approach, etc. But it still is contaminating Silver Stream, so Silver Stream's unusable. Plus, the wildlife, the fish and critters that live along it are becoming contaminated. and the PFAS flows all the way into the Hudson River.
The city now draws water from the Catskill Aqueduct. The state is funding the installation of a permanent carbon filtration system, estimated to be up and running in the fall.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Lake Placid has been chosen to host the 2019 International Children's Games and the 2021 Bobsled and Skeleton World Championships. New York's governor made the formal announcement during an annual summer event recently in the Adirondacks. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley was there.
At the end of the 2017 Adirondack Summer Challenge, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo noted the importance of tourism in the Adirondacks. It represents 20% of the economy, bringing $1.3 billion to the North Country, and is up more than 15% over the past 5 years. The governor announced two new events, which are likely to bring even more people to the 6-million-acre park.
In 2019, Lake Placid has won the hosting of the 8th International Children's Winter Olympics Games, which will bring thousands of people to Lake Placid. And it was just announced in Salt Lake City that Lake Placid has also won the International Bobsled and Skeleton World Championship that will be in 2021. So that's going to be even more people coming into Lake Placid.
The New York State Olympic Regional Development Authority and the U.S. Bobsled and Skeleton Federation sent a team to Salt Lake City, hoping to bring the World Championships to Lake Placid, according to ORTA spokesman John Lundeen.
This really came down to two historic venues, Lake Placid and St. Moritz, Switzerland. And Lake Placid came out on top. And for the Children's Games, this has really been a region-wide effort. We're excited that for the first time ever on U.S. soil, the International Children's Games will be coming January of 2019.
The International Children's Games, which are recognized by the International Olympic Committee, began in 1968. Winter competition began in 1994. Athletes between the ages of 12 and 15 participate. The New York Ski Educational Foundation, which provides snow sports athletic training for children and young adults, sent a team to the 2016 Games in Innsbruck, Austria. Executive Director John Norton says hosting the Games in Lake Placid will be an opportunity to showcase the region.
It certainly will be a shot in the arm for the economy. There's a lot of athletes, volunteers, parents, family members that travel with the athletes and coaches. But it also shows that Lake Placid is still on the scene in terms of an international competition destination, if you will.
Lake Placid-based Regional Office of Sustainable Tourism President Jim McKenna says the Children's Games will benefit the young athletes and efforts to reestablish the region's international sporting base.
We expect a minimum of 50 cities from around the world here, and it's got sort of an Olympic feel to it, and it's one of the three larger type of multi-sports events that we're working on right at the moment, and that's the first one. These types of events drive visitation and drive activity, but more importantly, they reestablish or strengthen the global sports brand that our region has, and that has a long-term effect.
Lake Placid officials are also actively working on bids to host the 2021 Special Olympics World Winter Games and the 2023 World University Games.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1729, or just listen or podcast on the web at wamcpodcast.org. And join us again next week at the same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.